A warm welcome to you all this Sunday morning. It's good to have you here with us at Gillingham Baptist Church. Normally we'd just be a bit more relaxed about what time we start, but because of the live streaming we need to just be a little bit more punctual. It's good to have you here with us on this Sunday morning. Special day today because it is we are commissioning Sarah Ray to be our minister in training for the next 3 years, and we're delighted that Sarah's brought with her friends and family, and we're looking forward to sharing that with them a little later in the service. With that in mind, we have Geoff Hunt, who is one of the regional ministers. He's the team leader, and we're very glad that you're with us, Geoff. If you don't understand the language of regional minister, then think bishop. So if you find me tugging my forelock, then... it's good to have you with us, Geoff. Thank you. We've got communion this morning as well. We'll be celebrating that in the first part of the service, and Sarah will be leading that for us this time as well. But it's good that we can be together. We come into the presence of God. We come to hear from God. We come to respond to him as well. And we're going to begin with a great hymn of the church, a great hymn of affirmation. Great is thy faithfulness. And we'll stand and we'll sing together.
Thank you.
Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for the truths in that hymn. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for your faithfulness to this world that you have made, your faithfulness to creation. And we bless you in this autumn season, Lord, for all those things that remind us of your goodness, your provision, your bounty and your blessing. And Father, we thank you so much for your goodness in this world and for the way that you hold this world in the hollow of your hand. Father, we bless you and praise you for these things. And Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to each one of us here this morning. We thank you for the way that you watch over us and provide for us, for the way that you care for us and just are there for us when we need you. And Father, we thank you that you're only ever a prayer away. And we bless you and praise you for every evidence that we have, every evidence we can list today of your faithfulness to each one of us and all those who we love and care for. And Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to this church over the years as well. Thank you for the way that you've led and guided these people. Thank you for the way that you've brought to us different ministries and ministers. Thank you for the way that you've raised up people among us. And thank you for your hand and your calling in the lives of so many people through the years. Father, thank you that today we can celebrate your continued work among us, the work of your Holy Spirit calling and choosing. And we bless you and praise you for that too. So, Father, as we gather here this morning, we want to lift our voices in praise, in celebration to you. And we ask that you'd receive and accept the praise of all our hearts through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Sue is going to carry on with our worship. Sue, thank you.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. I think that the 10,000 is a bit of a theme here from the last one. please sit down.
Thank you very much, Sue. We're coming to that point in the service where we're going to do an act of commissioning for Sarah, and Joth will be leading that for us. Just a little bit of background. As a church, for over a year now, many of us have been impressed isn't probably the right word, but I'll use it anyway. Sarah has preached for us here a number of times, and each time there's been sense of that presence of God with her, and we sensed a real calling of God on her life. And several people independently came to me at the beginning of last year and said, we really feel that Sarah should be getting some training for ministry. And so we spent a good part in church meetings this last year working that through in terms of testing the call. And in the summer, we affirmed Sarah's call to ministry, and she was commended to South East Baptist Association, who likewise commended her for ministry. So we're delighted that this is happening. I'm blessed because I've got several colleagues I work with. I work with Ruth, I work with Nikki, I work with Liz when Liz is around, and then Cheryl in the office, and various other people as well. I am very well blessed, but it's nice to have another member of the team as well, and we've had some really good conversations so far. So we're looking forward to this new partnership and how that develops. Joth, I'll hand over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here. I'm not sure about the bishop bit. My wife, if she really wants to annoy me, she calls me the vicar, which really gets to me. I'm a Baptist at heart. You are the bishops. You are the priesthood. I'm here to serve you, but it's a joy as a regional minister, as I travel from church to church, to drop into the moments of celebration. We drop into moments of crisis as well from time to time as regional ministers, you understand that, but this is a moment of celebration of which we can drop in, I can drop in and share with you in such a wonderful moment as you look backwards to some extent and remind yourselves all that God has done, and then come to this present day to celebrate the calling of yourselves as church to this moment, and Sarah to be a minister in training with you, but also to look forward into the future to see what God has to do. So we celebrate the past, we open ourselves up to the present, but we also step into the future together as we share in the story of what God has done. Now, in a moment, Sarah's going to come and take some promises before you, and you're going to share in that as well as we go through this little part of the service. But before we do that, it'd be good to hear from Sarah as to her story. So we've heard a little bit from Stephen about the story of the church, and I don't know if you want to add a little bit to that in a moment, but let's listen to how God has led Sarah to this point. Come and join me, Sarah.
Praise God. Good morning, church. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you, Pastor. I was suspecting that I'd feel nervous. I've written it down. So I'll just read off of my phone, like a Gen Z that I am. Okay. All right, praise God. So first of all, I want to thank God, Joth, Pastor, my family, and then my wider family in Christ, so yourself, GBC, and MNCF family, for this blessed opportunity. For me to be able to stand here. And I recognize that without his grace and mercy and your blessings and prayer, I would not be standing here today. So I'm very much aware of that, and I'm very thankful. In and of myself, in my own eyes, I've never really considered myself as someone worth being considered or valued. But I thank God. To stand before you as a student minister in training isn't a natural desire or a dream of mine that I've, you know, like, oh, I've been dreaming of this since I was five. It's not that. If anyone had asked me last year to answer this call on my life, I would have said, no, thank you. maybe someone else, but you've got the wrong person. A bit about me. I began street preaching in 2020. Once I really fell in love with Jesus Christ, I started street preaching with the efforts to spread the gospel. I'd often lead home fellowship and with my youth church that I was connected to during uni, I would do evangelistic outreaches. And I loved and enjoyed anything and everything I could do for God and His people. I've been taught to recognize that it's an absolute honor and a privilege to be used by God. I remember during those times, so in early 2020, and then in the following years, I would begin to write pretend sermons as I did my Bible study, and then I would do pretend preaching in front of the mirror with my pretend congregation. I know that sounds so sad, but I don't know why, but I just would do that. And I dream of revival again and again. I'll dream of great crusades that we'll do for God, and I'll just see the move of God. I'd cry in prayer for the world, the souls, and God's people. And doing all of this just made so much sense to me. Nothing else has made sense to me like just answering the call of God and serving Him and His people. And I've just felt fulfilled and passionate in doing this. And I remember in 2021, God told me to buy a pulpit. So I did. It was like those, light metal ones. And my family and I didn't understand why, and we chuckled at what seemed like an unusual purchase at the time. Like, what is a pulpit doing in our home? But they played along with me, you know, they were really nice about it. And bless my family, they joined me, they joined along as I did a grand opening of my pulpit, and it was just, yeah, it was just something that I did. And on Christmas Day, I opened that pulpit, I put my Bible in front, and I preached the gospel, and I preached about Jesus Christ to my family, and it was a blessed Christmas day. And after that some time, I admit to you that that pulpit collected dust and it was pushed away somewhere in the corner of my house. Life just got busy, and I just started to forget about these things. But long story short, throughout the years, God has shown mercy on me. And in His loving kindness, He has kept drawing me in closer to Himself. And as I have abided in my Savior's love and let Him guide me, I began to develop this burning and growing passion and desire to become a living sacrifice for Christ, to live for Him alone. And that looks different for everyone. And I was praying and wondering what that looks like for me. Even when I began my teacher's training last year, I found myself sometimes teaching. My body was present in the classroom. I was teaching about psychology, but my mind and my heart, I was just thinking about my Lord. I was thinking about lost souls. I was thinking about you guys. I was thinking about the wider body of Christ. And that's just where my heart was. So then I started to realize maybe I was in the right place, but it's time for me to start considering what's next. It was God who had called me into teaching, but now it was also God who was calling me into the next step in my life, which I originally thought was finish teacher's training, then get a job as a teacher and, you know, build a career, maybe be stable, I don't know, get married, as God wills, you know. But as I was tossing and turning in the spirit with the thoughts of what's next, since my training was coming to a completion, I didn't feel led to apply for any schools. And outside of work, godly people around me suddenly were beginning to suggest, how about Bible college? What do you think about serving in ministry? And up until that point, like I've said, I hadn't considered it. It wasn't something that I was thinking about, it's not something I wanted to do. So in this dilemma, I went to Pastor and I presented my dilemma before him, and he kindly listened, and lo and behold, he had a piece of paper where he had already written some suggestions of Bible colleges, and we hadn't spoken prior to this, and he started to mention a bit about ministry as well and what that might look like, serving in ministry. And I began to feel curious about this potential call because it was coming from all sides. And I just couldn't ignore the call of God. So I prayed, I cried, I wrestled with the thought, and eventually, with God's help, I surrendered to Him. Nothing else makes sense to me but my Lord and Savior. He's on my mind pretty much all day. And I might not know everything, but this one thing that I'm so sure about, that He is mine and I am His. And in Christ, I have the utmost privilege to experience and share, even in the fraction of God's precious heart, for the lost and saved alike. And the reason why I'm here before you today is because Jesus loves you. And Jesus loves the lost souls out there. And I've been humbled and given the honor to kneel before the feet of my precious Master and answer His call on my life. Here I am, Lord. Send me. If I perish, I perish. But take Your glory from my life. Dear GBC, I like to call you GBC, and you would think Gillingham Baptist Church, but for me, God's beloved children. Thank you for loving me, encouraging me, correcting me, praying for me, and being here today to share in what is the beginning of a new chapter of mine and your life, which is, by God's grace, I trust we will carry on, and I will carry on until my final breath in the Lord. I mean well, but I might not always get it right, so I make a humble request to please help me, be patient with me, keep me in your prayers, that I may remain humble and in the fear and the love of God. And let's grow in Christ together and glorify our Lord together. And I just want to just finish off by saying, I love you all with the love of Christ. Praise God. Amen.
Having heard your story, Sarah, it feels a bit weird to ask you these questions because, in a sense, you've already answered them in all that you've said to us. But we're going to ask you some questions.
Sure.
Then we're going to ask the congregation some questions as well as we commission you into this role as minister in training. Sarah, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord?
This is the God I trust, and Jesus is my Lord and Saviour.
Do you believe that God has called you through His church to this time of preparation here with this congregation and to a life of ministry in the wider church?
As a disciple of Jesus Christ, I believe that God has called me here.
Sarah, you've responded to God's call to Christian ministry and to set out now to be prepared for it here. Do you promise to live a life worthy of your calling, offering your gifts of body, mind, and spirit to the service of Christ through the life of this church and this community?
I do, the Lord being my helper.
And Sarah, will you be open to change and obedient to what you learn from this congregation and from your college? Will you seek to form relationships of care and respect with the people you meet here and pray with them? And for them, for the sake of Christ's purposes in all our lives.
I will, God's Spirit empowering me.
Sarah, in the ministry of preaching and teaching and pastoral care in this place, do you promise to apply what you have learned and will learn about God's word and God's world?
I will, the risen Christ inspiring me.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to invite the congregation here to stand. If you'd like to stand with us, we're going to ask you. And I think this is going to appear on the screen for you so you can follow the words. You respond in the right way. Brothers and sisters, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord? And will you, the members of this church and congregation, give Sarah your love and support, allowing her the space to learn and grow, and encouraging her as she continues to respond to God's call to Christian ministry. And we're going to ask this question for you all together as you covenant together, so you join in with this, Sarah. Will you all, from this day forward, covenant together to further the work of Christ's kingdom in the ministry and mission of this church and the Kent Nepalese Fellowship, through the developing ministry of Sarah and the shared ministry of us all. This is the ministry of Jesus Christ, in which we are glad to share. Thanks be to God. We're going to pray for Sarah. So if you'd like to be seated, and those who are going to come up to pray for Sarah, we're going to just walk down to the front here. I think there's one or two others. I've got one more. If I pass that to you, Sarah, if you just step forward a little bit. No. You've got to be in the middle. If you come round her and you can lay hands on her, that'd be wonderful. And then let us all pray for Sarah as we gather in the presence of God.
Father, thank you so much for Sarah. Look at this wonderful woman, Father, that you've given us. Lord, we ask that you would come now. And as she's asked so many times, that you would fill her again. That you would inspire her. That you would give her eloquence of word. Sensitivity of spirit, Lord. And Father, I just ask that as she's at the front line, doing stuff that maybe is really tricky, Father, that you would cover her with your blood and protect her like you protected those in Exodus, Lord. And that you would make her be able to tell the difference between when she should go forward and when she should stay still. Father, that your word would really be on her lips, Lord. That you would inspire her, Father God, as she does this ministry, Lord God. And we pray that you would bless her with, Mark 16 verse 15 says, you would bless her with the ability to preach the gospel to all creation. And it would be a joy and a privilege, and it would continue to be so, Lord, through the power of your spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Lord Jesus, in the 3 years that you were here on earth, you achieved so much. And yet, you still had time for work, rest and play. You enjoyed wedding parties. You went fishing and had barbecues. Mm. You had hill walks. You slept deeply. And you took yourself off to quiet places of solitude to be alone with your Father. Lord, please help Sarah to find a good balance of work, rest and play. Bless her time of study and practical work. And may she make special lifelong friendships with fellow students. Bless her in her downtimes as she relaxes with family and friends. And bless her in times of quiet as she steps away to be apart in solitude with you. Teach her how to listen to your still small voice within, to grow in inner quietness, rest and strength. Fuel the passion she has for you by filling her more and more with your spirit. Strengthen her within and equip her for all you have called her to do. Bless and refresh her in her quiet times and give her all that she needs to serve you and the church wholeheartedly. Your word says, Lord, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Father God, build Sarah up by your spirit, in your strength, with your power. May she go in your strength and not hers. Form and shape her into the gifts, character and abilities to be the strong and beautiful woman of God you have called her to be, fully equipped to serve you by your spirit. Sarah, may the Lord bless you abundantly in every way. Amen.
Right, I'll be praying for Sarah in English and in Nepali as well. She involved in our Nepali fellowship as well. So I'll start short prayer in English, and after that I'll do in Nepali as well. Lord, we commit Sarah upon in your hand, and Lord, we ask for your blessing upon in her life. Today, Lord Jesus, we are commissioning her, and Lord Jesus, in a role of ministry and training to do your work in this church. Not only here, but Lord Jesus, in wider churches and in Nepali Christian Fellowship as well in Kent. My Lord, we are grateful for choosing her and Lord, you're to fulfilling your work through her, Lord Jesus. So Lord, we commit her and ask for your blessing upon in her life. Fill her with your love and with your power, with your energy, with the encouragement, and with a devotion to do your work in you, Lord Jesus. So your great name being continued glorified in your name. Lord, so we continue prayer upon in her personal life as well, Lord Jesus, so that she may balance it and to do your work in you, Lord, we do pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. I'm going to pray in Nepali. Parmeshwar, I'm your Jalai Dhani Bacharam Shu. Tapaila Hamilai, your Samay Dinubo, Kiaz Amro, Sierra Churilai Prabhu, Tapaiko Hatma Hami Summer Pitgar, the Hami Asis Mangshun. Apno Churilai Prabhu Tapale Chalaunus. Apno Churilai Prabhu Tapale Sakchem to Launus. Apno Churilai Pavitan Atmale Bornos. कि जसले गर्दा केरे प्रभु आज एउटा मिनिस्ट्रीको काम आज यो चर्चमा गर्न सक्नका लागि प्रभु तपाईले आफ्नो छोरीलाई ट्रेनिङ अनि प्रसंगसँगै प्रभु आफ्नो यहाँका तपाईको छोराछोरीहरूलाई सेवा गर्नको लागि प्रभु तपाईले सक्षम तुलाउन हामी विनती गर्दछौं रेसेनी प्रभु तपाई नयाँसम्म आगमन नभएसम्म परमेश्वर पिता आफ्नो छोरीलाई हर कुरामा तपाईँले डराउनुहोस् पवित्र आत्माले अगुवाई गर्नुहोस् र तपाईँको निगाहमा हर कुरामा निगाह गरिदिनुहोस् भन्दै हामी प्रार्थना गर्दछौँ इन द नेम अफ जिजस क्राइस्ट वी डू प्रे आमेन
आमेन लॉर्ड वी थैंक यू फॉर दिस प्रेशियस मोमेंट वी थैंक यू फॉर सारा वी थैंक यू फॉर दिस चर्च एंड अगेन वी आस्क फॉर योर ब्लेसिंग टू बी अपॉन सारा इक्विप हर विद ऑल दैट शी नीड्स इन द जर्नी दैट इज अहेड ऑफ हर But fill her heart with love. With all the knowledge that she will gain, Lord, we pray that she will gain greater and greater love for you, your people, for the lost and your world. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. And bless this church. May this church shine brighter because of the ministry of Sarah amongst them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sarah, let me just take your hand. I've got the words here. Oh, you can say that. Say where you are. That's fine. Let me declare that you are minister in training in this church and this congregation. And let's say together these words of blessing, which start, the Lord bless you. Let's say these words together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The blessing of the Father who made us. The blessing of the Son who saves us. The blessing of the Holy Spirit who gives us life. Be with you and all of us. As we look for your coming kingdom. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Please be seated.
Again, so if everybody can stand, if they're able. I, the Lord of sea and sky. do have a seat.
Praise God. Just a FYI, this is my first communion, so please do be gracious on me, and Lord, forgive me if I make mistakes. So, thank you so much, worship team. This table and the elements thereof are a reminder to us of God's act of sacrificial love for us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We partake in this holy communion. As we take part in this holy communion, let us be reminded of our oneness with Christ and our triumphant life in Him. In taking these elements, we are demonstrating our faith in His perfect sacrifice. The bread, His innocent body that befriended cruelty and hung on that rugged, shameful cross, and the wine, His precious, redemptive blood shed for the remission of our sins, and that's the wine. Some of us here may be feeling unworthy to come to the table today. Let this be a gentle reminder. None of us are worthy in and of ourselves. Yet thanks be to God that through Jesus Christ, we are no longer condemned, but forgiven, cleansed, and set free. All for His glory. So let us come with humility. If we are aware of any sin or wrongdoing, let us repent sincerely and without delay. And even more so, let us not delay in receiving what Christ freely gives to us. This invitation is to be thoughtful and thankful as we partake of His body and blood in faith. So let us pray. Praise God. Precious Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank You for this beautiful day, and we thank You for this precious moment that You've given to us, Lord, to remember the precious blood and the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank You so much for Your sacrificial love for us, Lord, who were from the beginning unworthy, Lord, and we were sinners, but thank You so much for the mercy that You showed on each one of us, Lord. And now we are saved. And for those that don't know You yet, Lord, thank You so much. There's love and there's salvation for them as well, Lord. And thank You so much that we can all come to this table, Lord, and just remember Your love and just to celebrate this victorious life that we have in Christ Jesus. We thank You so much, Father. Hallelujah. And we just come before You, Lord, with just a repentant heart and anything that we've done wrong, Lord, the sins that we've committed, knowingly or unknowingly, Lord, we thank You, Father God, for Your mercy, and we just ask for Your forgiveness, Lord, as we come to this table today. Thank You, Father God, for the remission of sins through our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Can I invite those that are doing communion to the table, please? Praise God. Apostle Paul said to the church, "For I have received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.'" We'll eat the bread as we receive it. It's an opportunity for personal reflection on what Christ has done for you and I. When you get the bread, please do have it. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a covenant, new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We will take the wine together when everyone has been served. We will drink together as one people in Jesus Christ.
We're going to sing as the wine is shared round, but please remain seated.
Praise God. Let's drink this as one people in Christ. Thank you so much. God bless you. We'll be doing a prayer, which should come up on the screen. Thank you so much. So if, as one people, we can read from the screen and pray this together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Praise God. So we will be taking the offering now. I think whilst the offering's played, no? Okay, that's fine. So we'll be taking the offering. So before we take the offering, I'll just do a prayer. Father, thank you so much for this precious moment again, and thank you so much for the opportunity we get to offer into your house, Lord. Please receive these tokens of love, Lord, and thank you so much once again. Bless these givings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Lord, may you indeed bless these gifts as you bless the givers also in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you so much. The children are going to go to their own groups now. The very younger children down here with Jessica in the main hall, junior aged with Cynthia in the upper room, junior Bible class in the back prayer room, and the older Bible class down in the lighthouse. Thank you.
Sing once more, so let's stand if you're able. Let's take a seat.
Let's just bow our heads for a moment, shall we? Father, we've celebrated your love, your greatness, your goodness this morning. We want to pray for your peace into our world. We just pray for the situation in Gaza as it unfolds this weekend. Praying indeed for a return of those hostages. Praying for peace and justice and righteousness in that part of the world. Father, thank you for those who have been working for this. And Father, may this be a day of thankfulness for all those in that part of the world. Lord, may you be at work to bring a lasting peace in that troubled land, we pray. Father, we thank you for the many ministries in this church. We thank you for the work that goes on throughout the week. We pray your blessing upon each of those ministries. We think of Nikki and her work. We think of Ruth and the work she does with CAP. And for the many other things that happen in your name, Father, bless each one of them and may they be fruitful for your kingdom. For those in our family who are unwell, we pray that you'd reach out to them and touch them. We think of Trevor. We think of Ken. We think of Michael Stacey. And we ask, Lord, that you'd truly minister your healing touch and power into their lives. And for others among us who are sat here this morning and all kinds of worries and fears floating through our heads, some of us are anxious over many things. Some of us have got real pressing problems that we can scarcely bear to mention. Father, may you be kind to us. May you help us. May you intervene. May you reach into our lives and resolve them, we pray. Father, hear the prayers that we lay before you this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our Bible reading this morning is from 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 10 and then creep over into chapter 4 and verse 5. And the Apostle Paul says this, he says, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is God-breathed, and is useful to teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." And then he goes on to say, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, Keep your head in all situations. Endure your hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is the word of the Lord. Joff.
Well, good morning again. And thank you for the opportunity to be able to share. It's always great to be a present in these occasions. Normally what happens is that the person that's being inducted or commissioned invites their special friend to come and preach the word. But on this occasion, Sarah very kindly asked me to do so. I don't know Sarah for very long, but I'm absolutely honoured and privileged to be able to come and share God's word with you on this occasion and to kind of look at Timothy. We're going to do that in a moment or two. But before we do that, I just want to remind you that you are part of Southeastern Baptist Association. You're also part of the Baptist Union. I don't know if we can put up my first slide. And because you're part of the Baptist Union, I do come, because I'm a regional minister and they give me these things, I do come with a free gift for some of you. I can't say for all of you, but I've got about 12 copies of free of charge. They're normally £1. But for you today, not 50p, not a pound, not £2, no, free. Free to you today. There's a pile just down there. We'll get them out into the circulating during coffee. Please feel free to take one. If you want to take one away, read it, bring it back so other people can read it. That'd be wonderful. This one particularly is all about stories of baptisms. And there's some wonderful stories of how God has changed people's lives and how they've witnessed to the good news of Jesus Christ through the waters of baptism. So you may want to read this one. There's a story all about a minister where God told him to open up the baptistry on Easter Sunday, ready for baptism, and he didn't have someone to be baptized. You need to read the story to find out what happened. So help yourself to one of those. You're part of the Baptist Union. This is part of the Baptist Union. If we go to my next slide, you'll see that you're part also of Southeastern Baptist Association, which is approximately about 150 churches. I say approximately because actually it comes and goes a little bit up and down. Some churches join together. We've just had a church that's joined together with another church where they're supporting each other. But about 150 churches across the southeast. There have been Baptist churches in the southeast since the 17th century, even the early 17th century, witnessing to the glory and wonder of Jesus Christ. And so you're part of that movement today. And as I go from one church to the other, I take a photograph, and you may remember the last time I was here, I took a photograph of you and then I passed it on to the next church. Now this next slide is the last church that I was with last week. So this is Polborough Brooks Baptist Church. Does anyone know where Polborough Brooks is? No. You're going to have to go and look it up. It's a little village down near kind of Worthing area. Do check them out. They meet in a village. They're a small church, but they're seeking to witness into the village that they live. And I said to them last week, as I was sharing with them, I said that I'll be here. I told them about Sarah, and they said that they would pray for you as a church this last week as you prepare for this special occasion. And all those waves and all those smiles are for you. So do you receive the love? Yeah? I hope so. Are you happy for me to take a photograph of you and send that to the next church that I'll be with? Which is actually in about 3 weeks' time, because I've got a bit of a break. So I'm going to be with Ashford Baptist Church. And I want to tell you just quickly about Ashford Baptist Church. Can you pray for Ashford? So you get to pray for, I think it's 2 weeks for Ashford. Can you pray for their new pastor? They haven't called a pastor yet. They're in pastoral vacancy. They're looking for a new minister. Can you pray for them that God will lead the right minister to come and serve and to support them and love them as a fellowship? Will you do that? You sure?
Yes.
Great. That'd be wonderful. Let's take a photograph, because when I see them, I'll be able to show them your wonderful faces. Now, if you'd rather not be part of the photograph, now's the time to do your laces up, or a duck behind a pillar, Or someone once did, just wave in front of your face if you really don't want your face to be in the photograph. I may struggle to get people that are this end of the balcony, and certainly that side as well. We'll see what we can do. These phones are pretty good though nowadays. So let's see how you're looking. Okay, I'm gonna. Oh, that's great. Let's big smiles, big waves, sending your love to Ashford. I think I got most of you in. Now, this church always looks great on a photograph, with all the flags around as well, with all the different nations and ethnic groups that are involved. Thank you for that. We'll pass that on to them, and we'll pass on your love to them as well. I want to go to this passage in Timothy that we read together. In some ways, Timothy is one of these books where, I'm just going to move this out of the way because I do wander around a bit and I'm fall into it. One of these books is written to an individual. And it's written to an individual who's a young minister, a young pastor, who's pastor in a church. And it's written by Paul, the mentor of Timothy. And it's very easy at this point for some of us to think we love Timothy. We've been ministers. I remember being a young minister and rediscovering the books that Paul wrote to Timothy and thought these are wonderful books for me to learn from. In fact, Sarah, you probably will go to Timothy and find things in Timothy that are really helpful as a young minister as you begin your journey. The problem is this. For the rest of you, you'll be thinking, well, what's Timothy to do with me? Is there anything in Timothy for the normal person who's part of the congregation? Well, I've got news for you today. We're Baptists. I didn't hear any cheers about that. That's okay. But what that means is that we don't actually believe that individuals are the only ministers. We believe that each and every one of us are ministers. We're called in all kinds of different ways. Some are called to lead the church, to equip the church, to enable the church, almost to lead the band of ministers, if you want, into the calling of God together. All these letters are actually not about the individual, but about the church. And it's about us being part of it. And so when we come to this passage, and this passage is particularly precious, particularly on services like today, because within it, we have this thing called the charge. Now, the tradition in an induction service from a Baptist point of view is the person that brings the sermon brings the charge. Brings the charge. So that's what I'm doing today. I'm bringing the charge. And it's very easy for Sarah to soak. And I see Sarah's got her pen out. She's got her pad out. She's writing everything down. That's absolutely wonderful. It's very easy for her to think, well, this is the charge for me, but this isn't the charge for her. This is the charge for each and every one of us. Actually, this is the charge for you. This is the charge for us. Paul uses this word charge. Actually, it's the English word is charge. He doesn't use the word charge. He uses a very complex Greek word. The word charge sounds a little bit like we're going, da, 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 let's head out for battle or something like that. But it's actually not quite like that. It is a call. It is like a trumpet call. But this is a trumpet call of God's people to move from all that God has done in the past and the present into the future. Remember, my brother played the trumpet. It was a very painful thing. I'm a twin. I had a twin brother who learned to play the trumpet. I tell you, if you've ever got anyone in your house who's learning to play the trumpet, that's a very painful thing. I'm still getting therapy for when he learned to play the trumpet. But he learned it to the point that when we went on camps, he would be the one that would get up early in the morning and he would, is it Reveille? Reveille, and he would play Reveille so that we would all get up. And it was like the wake-up call. And this is like the wake-up call. This is like the charge. This is the message of Paul to remind the young Timothy, to remind the church that this is the important thing that we as church are about. And let's not lose sight of it. So what does he say to Timothy? I'm going to use the illustration of light. And I said to Stephen, can I light a candle in the church? And he said, there's a very long policy and I need to sign it in triplicate. So I said, let's ignore that. We set light to that and we just light the candle anyway. So we're going to We're going to light the candle because I just want to use this illustration. Although it's not, that's not a good start, is it? Although Paul doesn't actually use the word light, I'm just waiting for this. Come on. Ain't going to go, is it? Here's a draft somewhere. Yeah, we go. A smouldering wick will not go out. Hopefully that will stay lit for us. I just want to use this illustration of light, and I want to take you to, although we're looking at Timothy, to Psalm 119, where it says, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And so actually what we're thinking about is the word of God, but the word of God like a light. The word of God that has been given to us through his word here, through scripture, as Paul writes about, but also through the very person of Jesus Christ, the word that was given to us, who became the light to us. And Paul writes to Timothy, and he wants to say to Timothy, do not forget the word. Do not forget the light. If you read back in Timothy into chapter 3, you'll discover there's a whole load of stuff about false teaching and people being misled, deceit. And in the time of Timothy, there was real uncertainty about what the truth was. Does that sound familiar? We live in a time where there is huge uncertainty about what the truth is. I don't know if you've met your AI self yet. There's a nationwide ad. I love it. I don't know if you've seen it. It's the ad with the father and the daughter. And the father is the CEO of a big traditional bank. And he looks down on Nationwide. And in the ad, he's by his window and the phone rings. And when his phone rings, is his daughter. And his daughter says to him, do you know this ad? His daughter says to him, Dad, I've missed my flight. I need you to send me some money so I can get another flight. And the dad says this, he says, hang on a minute, you're not my daughter, you're an AI. And he switches the phone off and he gives it to his assistant, whose assistant says, you're stupid because that was your daughter, that was your real daughter who needs your help. Have you seen that ad? Yes. Next time you see it, you'll know what I'm referring to. We're in that stage, aren't we, where we kind of, what is true? What is real? What can we rely on? What can we trust on? What is the foundation of life from which we walk? Jesus has given us the truth, the light. And so Paul wants to say to Timothy, he reminds him of all the false teachers, and we've got plenty of those around. And then he says these words, and he says them twice. As he says in chapter 3, verse 10, and chapter 3, verse 14, he says, but as for you, things are different. As for you, things are different. You know my teaching. You have learned these things. But as for you, don't be like these false teachers. But be like this. And he wants to, I think he shares kind of three things as we think about this. And the first is this. Don't panic when I hold the candle, okay? I won't set light to myself, I don't think. The first thing he says is this, hold on to the light. Hold on to the truth. Hold on to the word. You, Timothy, hold on to all that you have learned. Do not let go of it. Receive it deep into your personal life and remember and do not forget. I don't know if you do this, but every now and then I like to remember my own journey. And actually, a lot of the people that fed the truth into my journey of faith are no longer with us. I became a Christian at the age of 7, and my parents were so instrumental in me discovering who Jesus was and for me entering into faith. They're no longer with us. They both passed away in 2022. My key youth leaders, a guy called David Greenwood, a guy called Les Ayres, no longer with us, but shared the faith. So I came to a point at the age of 13, recommitting my life to Jesus because of their works and their words and their love for me and the way they shared Christ with me. At the age of 15, actually this fellow is still alive as far as I know, I was baptized by my minister, John Allen, as I committed myself to Christ in the waters of baptism. What's your story? Who are the key people in your life? Who shared the faith? Who shared truth with you with honesty and care and love? Who told you firstly about the love and sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Remember these people. Paul, as he says to Timothy, remember me. Remember my example. Remember what I gave you. Remember what I told you. Remember what you learnt from me. But he doesn't just refer to him. He also refers to Timothy's grandmother and his mother. He reminds him of Lewis and Eunice, who brought scripture and God's word to Timothy when he was very young. And that truth, that light was lit deep inside him. Can we go to the next slide, actually? If I could have got a picture where there was a light shining from inside a person, I would do. But I quite like this picture where the light is held. And the light is held close. Sarah, as you minister, your first responsibility is to immerse yourself in the word of God. You can't offer any light to anyone else until your light shines deep in your own hearts. But that's true of each and every single one of us. That the light of God, the light of Christ, will be held deep inside of us. But as we do that, says Timothy, as we do that, we also hold the light to ourselves and then we hold the light out. And first, we hold the light out to his people. Timothy, your responsibility is to hold the word of Christ out to folk. Give them the truth. Share the light of Jesus Christ that they may know what is honest and true. And Paul uses this wonderful verse that we often quote, don't we? Where he says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servants of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I hear that verse, part of me loves it, and part of me goes, ooh. And the reason being is because when we translate it as teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. Now, I don't know about you, but I mean, I was okay at school, but I didn't like the correcting, and I didn't like the rebuking. But actually, these words aren't quite that. When you drill down into the Greek, they're slightly different. So they may be perceived for one or two to have negative undertones. But actually, there is some real positive things about it. The word teaching that is used here is actually about instruction. It's about giving instruction for life. So there is this element of growing, that we might grow in Christ. The word rebuking is probably not a great word, actually. The word rebuking is more about conviction. It's about being convicted by the Spirit and the Word together, that we are convicted that we would be changed. So as we receive the Word, it's not like someone's wagging their finger at someone. It's actually someone offering the Word of God, and that Word of God entering into their lives and convicting and transforming their lives as they receive it. That light beginning to burn deep inside of them. That sense of correcting is about reforming. It is about transformation. It's not about saying, you are wrong and I am right and I'm going to correct you. Do you remember those days when you handed your book into the teacher and she marked it. And I don't know about yours, but mine came back with a lot of red ink on it. Normally crosses, not ticks. And that kind of left some scars on me. I'm still getting therapy for that as well. That sense of correcting by the Spirit and the Word of God is very different. This is a transformational work that is taking place in our lives as the light of God's Word enters into us. And that sense of training is about growing, strengthening, education, knowing more, but being strengthened in all that we might know. And as those four things take place, what happens with each individual? They grow, and the church is equipped. They shine brighter in righteousness, and the good works of God are seen amongst his church. This is a particular word for pastors, that you, pastors, Sarah, hold the light close. Allow it to sink deep into your life. But also hold it out with grace and care. And he actually says with patience and gentleness, share the word of God with his people. So the word of God, not you, the pastor, but the word of God itself might change people. And that they might burn brighter and brighter. Which takes me to my last point, because I think this is within the passage of what Paul is encouraging Timothy to do, is to offer the light. So we hold on to the light, we hold out the light, and then we offer it out to the world and say, world, come and see the light and the truth of God. Come and enter into his world. And we offer you a candle of which you can light. You can become part of the light. We invite you into the light of Jesus Christ. And Paul calls Timothy to do that very role. In fact, that's why I think he uses the word evangelist at the end of this passage. Do the work of the evangelist. Don't just do the work of the pastor. Don't just feed the church. Just don't nurture the church, but encourage the church and your role to share that good news of Jesus Christ wherever you go. Sarah, I love your passion for the lost. I love those words. I know that God has put something deep inside you that says, you know, there are those outside of the sheep pen that are yet to be brought in, and we need to go and find them. Sorry, mixed metaphors here, but there are those without light, those in darkness, that need to receive the light of Christ. And I very much believe God has given you the heart of the evangelist as well as the pastor. And I think those two things do sit together. You see it in Scripture quite often. You know, it's not just about pastoring the church. It's about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with the community around us. But that's not just a pastor thing. That's a church thing. See, what I love about this is as we hold on to the light, as we hold out the light, as each one of us burns brighter and brighter, what happens? The church of Jesus burns like a beacon, not a candle. We might feel we're just a candle, but as we hold our candles together, we burn bright for Jesus Christ. And the church becomes the evangelist, if you want, into the nations. When I was I love this church, by the way, because it reminds me of Eastleigh Baptist Church, but also Harlow Baptist Church, which I was the pastor of for both those churches. Very, very similar structures. But when I was at Harlow Baptist Church, we used to invite the local school to do their Christmas Christingle service in the chapel. And they all the children would bring their little Christingles. And they would be delivered by car, actually, on trays. And they used to be, they used to sit on trays over here on this side of the church. So as the children came in, and it was kind of normally a winter, well, it's kind of December, isn't it? So kind of a dark, drizzly day. There'd be lights all over the place, but we would light, me and Rachel, who was our youth, our children's worker, would light all these Christingle candles. And as they came in, there'd be a bright light here. And we would sit on the edge there. And what would happen is as the service went on, the heat of the candles would start to burn each other. And they would burn brightly, but then they would start to burn the sweets on the Christingles, do you know? And this sweet smell would begin to kind of fill the building. And then eventually one or two of the leaves would start to burn, at which point we decided we ought to put these ones out. But that sense of these candles coming together and being effective, they're just one little candle. But when you put them together, suddenly it warms the whole church. It lights the whole church. It gives an aroma to the whole church, and the world begins to see the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. I need to finish because time is running out, but just a couple of things. Paul says this: as you invite people into the light, do it in and out of season. Do it in and out. Even when people are not lighting their candle, do it in and out of season. Do it with relevance, he says. An application, correct, rebuke and encourage. That's all about doing that with great relevance into their lives and the situation and the world of which we live. With application, that this is truth that changes your life. But also do it with patience and care. With great love for the individual. So Paul says, to each and every one of us, call yourself Timothy today. It's a good name. We called our son Timothy. Hold the light close. Hold the light out to each other. Remind each other of the precious word of God. And invite others to come and share the light so that they might go on and share the light with others. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for this day. We thank you again for the calling over Sarah. But we also recognize, Lord, you're not just calling Sarah. You're calling each and every one of us. You say to your disciples, come, follow me. Light your candle on my light and lift it up into the world. I pray that this church, each and every individual, will hold the light of Christ deep in their hearts and into their souls. And Lord, that they will hold it out to each other, encouraging each other. Come, live in the light. Be stronger and burn brighter. And as they do that, Lord, may many come and discover the light of Christ in their dark souls, that they may be light to others. For the glory of your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Geoff. April 1988, I was inducted as the minister of Matson Baptist Church in Gloucester, and Malcolm Goodspeed preached on that verse, "Do the work of an evangelist." So I have tried my level best to fulfill that, for 37 years. So thank you.
Let's stand for our final song.
Thank you so much for being here this Sunday morning. Thank you. Do please rapidly go and collect your children. That will be much appreciated. There is tea and coffee downstairs, and you'll be very welcome to stay around for the Ray family's friends and hinterland. There is food as well afterwards as well. So don't rush off. Please stay to be fed. Yes. We've got prayer ministry here. If anybody's got anything burning that they would really like a prayer for, the guys here will be happy to pray with you. Wednesday morning, it's the CAP money course for anybody who's got budgeting issues. That starts at 9:30. 7:30 on Wednesday evening, it is Bible study downstairs in the Lighthouse. Thursday morning, 10 o'clock, Bible study again, this time Good News at 10. Next Sunday we've got the morning service as usual at 10:30. The celebration service that we were going to have has now been put back to November for planning reasons, so that's going to happen in November. There's men's breakfast Saturday 1st of November. Sign up please out there on the list. And leadership elections, it's that cycle. Closing date for nominations is the 29th of October. And please, if you're able to think about who to nominate, that will be much appreciated. Anybody wanting to know more about baptism or membership, please come and have a word with me. I've got three other big notices that people have given me. Haven't got time to give them. I'm sorry, they'll have to wait till next week. If you would like a copy of the Baptist Together magazine, then there are some here, or Joth's got some as well. Let me pray a blessing over you. Father, thank you for your presence with us. Lord, as we go from here today, may you fill each one of us with your love, joy, and peace. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us to burn brightly for you, we ask and pray. May your blessing go with us and with all those who we love and care for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please do hang around. There's tea and coffee downstairs, prayer ministry over here. Bless you all. Joff, thank you very much.